Well, if you're like me, after watching last night's game, you're still a little bit in shock, I would imagine, after being so close, but yet not close enough. And so with Green Bay out of the playoffs, now the coaches and the staff start looking ahead to the upcoming NFL draft and combine as they try to recruit the best players and hopefully return to the playoffs again next year. But yet to accomplish those goals, we all know that we need to establish and assemble the best team possible, and the success still can never be guaranteed. Look what they did to the Dallas Cowboys. There are many examples of teams loaded with the best players who just happen to fail miserably. The most talented or gifted people are not always the right people. Chemistry, attitude, and desire are all factors in building that winning team. Well, in today's gospel, we hear Jesus selecting members of his team. He's calling his first apostles, his disciples, who will carry out his mission and establishes his church on earth. In the way Mark's gospel describes it, for Peter, James, John, and Andrew, it all seemed very clear. They just abandoned their nets, their present way of life. They went off and followed Jesus. Sounds so simple. But yet, when you think about it and reflect on the gospel, did you ever wonder, did the apostles ever look back when Jesus called them? Did they have regrets? And that's the part of the gospel that we don't hear about. When you think about it, the apostles had a lot to lose and very much to learn by accepting the call of Jesus. James and John were strongly attached to their father. Loyalty was very important. And you have to remember, this was a patristic society. So the elder father, the elder men in their families really had reigned supreme. You didn't want to go against them. Peter and Andrew probably were running a very profitable fishing business in the region, and they turned their backs on that business and walked away to follow Jesus. And even though Jesus gave them no background, no description, a job description of what being a disciple would be, where they were going, or what they were going to have to do, notice their response was immediate. There was no discussion. They just left their nets and followed Jesus. Well, today, 2,000 years later, Jesus says to each and every one of us this morning, "Come after me." As I discern the call to be a deacon, I can tell you it certainly was not an immediate decision. It was more like several years. And those several years put a lot of anxiety and angst in my family as well, as we all prayed together whether God was calling me. I remember Father Dennis's story about his discernment to become a priest and the struggle that he had. What would your reaction be? What would your response be? Might you review your options and do a Google search on discipleship? It certainly wouldn't be as spontaneous or an immediate result as Peter was this morning. For most of us, Jesus isn't always as clear as having him walk by and say, "Come follow me." Yet he continues to call each and every one of us, no different than he called Peter and the others over 2,000 years ago. He meets us where we are at our stage in life, and then extends that invitation to follow him. And it's different for each and every one of us. Through our baptisms, we have all received the light of Christ and have been called to discipleship. We carry that light, that witness of faith, wherever we go, whether it's in our home, our workplace, the school, or our neighborhood. And as our parish mission statement so beautifully states, we become Christ, each one for the sake of all. Sharing Christ's mission means bringing his light and his truth into the routines of our daily lives, the ordinary of our daily lives. And in doing so, we can change that ordinary into something extraordinary. Our lives become a gift. We become a sacrament for one another as we bring the presence of Christ into our daily encounters. Like Peter and the others, we are all invited by Christ to be his disciples. You might say that we're being asked to leave the fishing nets which hold our own needs and wants and follow the examples of love and service that Jesus shown us. Each of us are called. We all have that vocation. And maybe you never thought about it like that, because vocation has different meanings for each and every one of us. Usually it's a religious vocation. But we've been all called to a particular vocation. Doesn't matter whether we are a priest, a deacon, religious, married, or single, we are all disciples, and we are all called through our baptism into the action of becoming Christ's light and his presence in our world. For most of us, it's highly unlikely that God is inviting us to abandon our families, our responsibilities at work, or walk away from our jobs. But we are being invited into a relationship, a calling, that defines who we are, how we are to live, and what we are to believe. At the beginning of the gospel, we hear Jesus call for repentance, and today Jesus is calling us to repent. And in Lent, you might hear the word metanoia, that's the Greek translation for repentance, or literally a call to conversion. It's a change of mind, a change of heart, as we become a member of his team, living that life of discipleship. This past week, I had to laugh when I heard the TV promos for last night's Packer game. Jordan Love versus the San Francisco 49ers. Don't believe it, and not because of the result last night, but as we've all seen, it takes a team effort to be successful. And so it is with God's team, the church. Working together, we allow ourselves to be transformed by his grace, each of us contributing our part, each of us a gift for the good of all. This morning, Jesus offers all of us that invitation. Come after me. He invites us to be his light in the world, to be members of his team, to be his disciples. The question is, are we willing to accept his invitation?